As a follower of Jesus, have you ever wondered why, even though you know you've been made new, nothing actually feels new? Or wondered how your life right now fits into the bigger story of redemption? I'm Ruth Jo Simons, and this is the Grace Lakes Podcast. In today's episode, my co-host Eve and I have the privilege of sitting down with Bible teacher Nancy Guthrie to talk about the answers to these questions and more. Nancy teaches the Bible at her home church, Cornerstone Presbyterian Church in Franklin, Tennessee, as well as at conferences around the country and internationally. She is also the host of Help Me Teach the Bible podcast at the Gospel Coalition. Nancy and her husband, David, are the founders of Respite Retreats for couples who have faced the death of a child and the hosts of the videos used in Grief Share, a small group ministry for grieving people offered at churches worldwide. I can't wait for you to hear from her. So let's get started. Well, Nancy, Eve and I are so excited to have you on the podcast today because Yes. You truly are one of our very favorite Bible teachers who has impacted both of our lives for many years. So welcome to the Grace Lakes Podcast.
Oh, well, thank you for having me.
It's so good to have you because I can't think of anyone I'd rather have this conversation with, because we are going to get into some theological truths made accessible for the listener to really understand how does this concept apply in my daily life. And this idea today of the already and not yet is the undergirding of my new book, Now and Not Yet, Pressing In When You're Waiting, Wanting, and Restless for More. This entire season of the podcast is to support that, come alongside that message with all these ways in which sometimes we are waiting or we're restless or we just don't like our right now circumstances. And yet, as a believer, as a follower of Jesus, we know that this is not all there is, and that right now doesn't define everything that is true, sometimes even when we can't feel it. So, Nancy, I just want to have you share and help our listeners understand, what is this biblical and theological picture of the already and not yet concept that we encounter when we read our Bibles?
Oh, thanks for that question, because I'm with you, Ruth, that my growing understanding, and I'm saying growing in the present tense, because I've been trying to understand this for a long time, but I feel like it really has changed my life in so many ways, and I intend to spend the rest of my life actually seeing my life in terms of this reality and anticipating my future in terms of this reality. Yes. So maybe if we're going to talk about already and not yet, or now and not yet, maybe the best place to start is to think about, well, what happened before the now? Right. What happened before?
That is a good place to start.
The already, right? So maybe we should go back. And Here's the thing about the story that the Bible tells us that is so significant, is that when we understand the whole of the story that the Bible is telling us, that's what helps us understand the realities in our own lives.
Yes.
Amen. Especially if we are joined to Christ by faith. Mm-hmm. Because you see, when we become joined to Christ by faith, our story is no longer solely dependent on who we are or what we've done or what we can work at ourselves, but it's now centered on who Christ is and what he has done and where his future is headed. And so this is why we want to know the story of the Bible, because it helps to make sense of our lives. So let's go back to the beginning of the Bible story briefly. We see that God created the heavens and the earth, and he put Adam and Eve in this garden, and he filled their lives with purpose and meaning and goodness. He gave them the sense of purpose in their lives. They were going to bear God's glorious image and then work and keep the garden so it would expand to every corner of the earth and be filled with their descendants who bore his glorious image. And it's such a beautiful start to the story. And then we only get to Genesis chapter 3 and everything goes wrong.
Yeah.
Everything that was so good becomes broken. And we discover, okay, this first man, Adam, he's not going to be able to lead us into all that God intends for his people to be and for the realm he intends to share with his people. And so right there from Genesis chapter 3, we could say from Genesis chapter 3 all the way to almost the end of the Bible, what the story the Bible is telling us is the story of what God is doing to work out his plan to bring his people into this all-satisfying rest, this abundant provision, this face-to-face enjoyment with God himself. Yeah. And so if we look there at the beginning, we realize something has happened that has broken everything. And as we trace the Bible story, and we could do it through a lot of ways, but I think maybe the best way to do it, if we're thinking specifically about this idea of already and not yet, most often when theologians talk about that concept, they're thinking about specifically the story the Bible tells about the kingdom of God. And, as, you know, as we look at the Bible story, I think your listeners will probably remember the story of King David, who gets set on the throne over God's people. And God makes him this incredible promise. He tells him that he's going to have descendants who are going to sit on the throne. And in fact, one particular descendant who his throne or his kingdom is going to last forever.
Forever.
And so from there on in the Bible, we're wondering, you know, and
who is this?
And, and we're watching these kings, these descendants of David. But as we look in the Old Testament story, actually, it doesn't go so well for those kings. You know, if you remember, you're like, you've got a good king and then you've got a bad king on the throne. And
it just keeps flip-flopping.
It's bad. And then the Old Testament ends and there is no son of David seated on the throne over Israel. There's no kingdom. I mean, they're just being ruled by foreign rulers. And so like so many storylines of the Old Testament, we end and we're going, how is God going to be true to that promise?
Yeah.
When is that going to happen? How is that going to happen? And then we turn to the New Testament. Let's say that we turn to Luke chapter 2. And we get to overhear this angel come to this young woman living in Nazareth in a time when the country is ruled by a cruel puppet king. And he says to her, you're going to have a son. And this is going to be the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God is going to give to him the throne of his father David, and he will reign forever and ever.
Dun, da, da, da.
Yeah, wow. There it is. Yeah. There's this son, this king we've been waiting for. And so then in the Gospels, if we go to the Gospel of Mark, we hear the first words of Jesus recorded in the Gospel of Mark is that he says, the kingdom of God is at hand. Mm. And so we see, okay, the kingdom is breaking into the world with the coming of this, the true King, Jesus Christ. And throughout his ministry, especially his ministry of miracles, we get glimpses into what this world is going to be like. Yeah. When his kingdom isn't merely at hand, as it was the first time, but when it comes in all of its glorious fullness, as will be the reality when he returns a second time and ushers us into the kingdom as God has always intended it to be. And so I suppose before we get to now and not yet, we do have to stop at the cross, because it's at the cross we see the work our King has done to make it possible to one day bring us into the kingdom environment that we so long for. And I think it's best captured maybe in Colossians 2:15, which describes what happened on the cross. it says that he canceled the record of debt that stood between us and God. He nailed it to the cross. Mm. And then it says he disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Mm. Now, Ruth, wow. I think when we read things like that in the Bible, that our first instinct is to say, okay, well, where's that triumph?
Mm. Right. And we don't see it. We don't feel it.
We don't see it or feel it. And that's why what you're presenting about now and not yet is so significant. Yeah. Because when we read the Bible like this, we think, well, where is that victory?
Or I want that.
When we read in Galatians 4 about the way it describes what happened at the cross, it says that Christ redeemed us from the curse by becoming a curse for us. Mm. And we think, okay, if Jesus dealt with the curse when he was on the cross, then why is my world still so impacted by the curse?
Why is there still brokenness? Why do I still struggle with the things that I struggle with? Or sometimes we might go, well, if Lord, you promised so much freedom, and I know there's freedom in Christ, why do I still feel so stressed out sometimes and so bound to the little idols in my life? Or why do I still struggle the way I do? And those are valid questions. And sometimes we want to fix those issues both spiritually and physically by saying, well, let me just rush this along and figure out how I can stop feeling this way and get on the other side of this tension that is what's currently true and where I want to be. Let's just skip to the good part there. And, you know, Nancy, I just sat there in awe that I just needed to hear you recount the good story of God's redemption plan, because, you know, it's been walking with Jesus for so long, and yet I don't always have the luxury of somebody telling me straight into my earphones here just how glorious that truth is. Yeah. And I think as a follower of Jesus, we need to remember and rehearse and recount the entire picture of God's glorious salvation plan, his rescue plan, his loving kindness towards us. Because otherwise, if we only look at the right now, the sliver that we feel right now, we can't piece it together and we still get really confused. And so thank you. First of all, just thank you for, I didn't even want to even breathe and interrupt, because I just wanted to hear you go on forever. I'm like, can you keep going? Just start from Genesis and go all the way to the end, please. Because I think sometimes that weaving together helps us remember that we need the entirety of the Bible story. If you're a parent like me, you hope that your children will grow up to develop an unshakable faith, to follow Jesus and live out his call on their lives in a way that brings glory to God. But you also know that our kids live in a world that can be challenging to follow Christ faithfully, which is why Summit Ministries is such a great resource. Here's how one mom described her kids' experience. "I'm not capable of teaching my kids all the things they learn at Summit. I homeschool them and we read a lot of great books together, but nothing compares to what they've internalized after attending Summit. Summit takes the best of the best speakers and they plan each session in such a way that the kids can get the most out of it. That means having downtime, having fun activities, good food, thoughtful dialogue, access to speakers, staff connection, all of it. I'm sending 3 of the Simons Man Cubs to Summit as soon as our schedule allows, hopefully next summer, and I'm so excited for them. If you have a child between the ages of 16 and 22, send them to a 2-week Summit experience in Colorado or Georgia this summer. Learn more and register at summit.org/gracelaced and save $200 off the cost with the code RUTH24. That's RUTH24.
So we see Jesus on the cross and we might think, okay, you know, the king has been crucified and this story of what God is doing in the world to bring his people into his kingdom, it seems to be a disaster. But of course, we know what happened, that the king, in fact, was not dead forever. He went into the grave and he rose. And as we trace the Bible story, something very significant happens 40 days later. Jesus ascends. And when we think about Jesus ascending into heaven, what we have to understand is there's a kingly nature to that. He is ascending to be seated on the throne in heaven. And so if we look at this story and we think, well, where are we now in the story?
Yeah.
This is where we come to. Jesus is seated on the throne in heaven. And what's happening in the world right now is that he is gathering a people for himself. He is building his kingdom. Hmm. Now, I think the tricky thing for us, Ruth, is we look at the Gospels and we see some of those miracles he performed. And so some of us in this world, we want to say, okay, well, then I should be able to get that too, right? Like, you know, these things Jesus did for people, like if I have enough faith, or maybe if I pray the right way, right, or with the right people, or if I get enough people to pray, then those kinds of miracles are going to be a reality in my life. And certainly in our world right now, we catch little glimpses of those. But I think what we're really meant to see in the Gospels is what this world is going to be like when the kingdom of God is not merely at hand as it was in his first coming, but when it comes in all of its glorious and fullness,
right,
after his second coming. And so where are we in the story? We are living in a world where there is so much goodness because of what Christ has done and what he has accomplished. We experience genuine peace and genuine joy and contentment, even in the midst of the disappointments of this life. But I do have to say, Ruth, which I know you capture well in your book, that the reality of the now is that we do experience disappointment and a lack of contentment. There are things we are longing for that we realize in this lifetime, as we sit in the now, are never going to be completely satisfied. And I think it helps to realize that, because I think, don't you think that sometimes we think, okay, if I just somehow do this life right,
I can make it
then
work.
Maybe I won't be disappointed, and I will be perfectly content, and I won't feel this loneliness or these deep longings. And so I think it really helps what you're doing in this book is to show people it actually makes sense that right now we're going to struggle with disappointment.
You know, Nancy, I think it's just that the world is so actively feeding us this idea that we can somehow conquer the pain. We can get on the other side of having to even feel this tension, that there's no need to have to wait for a resurrected body, for example, or have to be on the other side of struggling with sin, that somehow we can just conquer everything by finding the right fix, subscribing to the right formula, or somehow, even as a Christ follower, sometimes we think we can somehow be a good enough Christian to not have to wrestle with the tension of this right now life, where we are not yet all that God intends for us to be when we will be with him forever.
Mm. We long for that day, don't we?
We sure do.
And we wish the Bible told us more about the future that is being prepared for us, reserved for us. But, you know, the very nature of faith is believing in what we can't see. And so the Bible holds out to us the culmination of this story of his kingdom, which is when we get to the end of the Bible story, it gives us a picture of the king returning in triumph and destroying all of the evil and sin that has brought so much pain and misery into this world and into our lives. And man, we need to hang on to that, especially if we've been hurt in this world. And if we've longed to see justice in this world and we haven't seen it.
Right.
And we read the Bible's promises about perfect justice and we think, when is that going to happen? Well, we have to hold on, hold on for the return of our King, who will usher in the complete elimination of evil in this world. He will usher in perfect justice. And then not only that, that is when we will finally experience the satisfaction that we've longed for and never been quite able to. Maybe we've grabbed a hold of it for a little while, but it slipped through our fingers.
Yeah. I love what you said, that there are glimpses, right? Right now we can experience glimpses, but we keep confusing that with somehow thinking that, oh, that glimpse is meant for me to have all of it now. So I just want to like get a hold of what I think I deserve or I need right now, forgetting that it all is with Him. And Jesus has a plan for that that is not meant for us to find on our own or to achieve on our own.
Yeah. You said a little phrase earlier in our discussion. You said, this life is not all there is. And boy, is that an important truth to grasp and take hold of. And, you know, Ruth, I know that you know my story, that my husband and I have experienced the death of two of our children. And I have to tell you, in the midst of that kind of sorrow and loss and confusion, you know, when I was wondering, okay, wait a minute, I think maybe the Christian life is not all about what I had thought it was up to this point, and found myself grasping for what is true and reliable. What can I really depend on to make sense of this life? And when I think about the things that I grabbed hold of, one was God is in charge of this world and He is working out His plans and purposes in this world. And boy, do we need to know that when it seems like the bottom falls out of life and we think this world is out of control. No, it isn't. The King is on His throne and He is working out His plan toward a good end. But, and another thing I needed to hold on to was, this life is not all there is. It's all you and I can see right now. And so it's so easy to just be obsessed with what we are seeing with our eyes and what we can experience in the number of years, you know, this maybe 70, 80, 90 years or less that He gives us. And so we just think everything we're expecting, we want it in the here and now. And so we've got to grab hold of that truth that you gave us, that this life is not all there is, because that is the hope that the Bible holds out to us. The hope the Bible holds out to us is not that if we take hold of Christ, He's going to make everything right in the here and now.
It's good.
The hope the Bible holds out to us is, hold on, because you have a future that awaits you because you have taken hold of Christ by faith. And that future is going to be a future of no more sorrow and no more tears and no more death and perfect satisfaction, face-to-face relationship, eternal joy, eternal life. And that's what we, by faith, take hold of even now as we live in the now of this world, awaiting the not yet.
What do you think is one, I mean, you just gave such great encouragement of things to hold on to, like truths to keep rehearsing in that tension that we may be feeling right now. Is there maybe one practical encouragement you would give somebody who's listening to the podcast today who says, I hear all of what you're saying, Nancy, and it makes sense, and I'm trying to hold on to that future, but like, what do I do today, right now?
Well, I think the most important thing that we have to do is be very aware of the voices that we're listening to. And if those voices are feeding our inordinate expectations for the here and now.
So good.
Or if those voices are feeding our joyful contented anticipation of what is reserved for the future.
Yeah. That's
you know, the voices, so much of social media, certainly all of the commercials that we watch on television, and let's just face it, we consume a lot of that, right? And
we
so
do.
That can be a very a dominant voice in our lives, which is, yeah. you know, you just buy this mascara and you're going to have long lashes and you're going to you're going to be as beautiful as you were always hoping to be. But then when we listen to the voice of Scripture, what it says is God is at work in you even now making you beautiful.
Yeah.
Because he is. He's at work making you genuinely beautiful. Where is that beauty? It's beginning on the inside.
Yeah.
But it's not solely reserved for the inside.
Yeah.
I mean, I think about what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians. He says that right now we're experiencing these light and momentary difficulties. We, in a sense, we feel ourselves wasting away. And as a woman who is 61, I can tell you, I feel the outer self at times wasting away. But then his very next line says that we have hope because on the inside he's making us new.
Yes.
And I'm experiencing that too. He is making me new on the inside. And for the rest of my life, I anticipate greater and greater newness. But you know what? There's going to come the day that I'm going to die, but that's not going to be the end of my story, because what I'm anticipating in the future is pervasive, permanent newness, a beauty. I'm going to be crowned with a beauty that's going to last for all eternity that I never can expect to achieve or keep hold of in this life.
What you're describing is a transformation of the mind and the heart based on knowing the truth, clinging to the truth, and letting that transform even the way you live today. Because that picture of mascara and beauty issues, you know, it could seem like a real simple, like silly surface level example. But the truth is, when we start thinking about who we are made to be because of Christ and our actual ultimate purpose spiritually, it transforms the way we even think about what this body is purposeful to do. Like, why are we even here? Why do I have eyes to see and hands to use? Why has he given me the faculties that I have? And I was thinking as you were speaking, Nancy, that it's hard to put our hope in heaven when we're constantly obsessing about our lives on earth. That it's hard to put our hope in what God is doing for all of eternity, what his eternal purposes are, where he's bringing us into eternity forever in his presence. How do we keep hoping in that if we're daily obsessing and constantly allowing ourselves to be fed with a constant influx of, you got to have it all now. You need to find your satisfaction now. You can control your destiny. You can have everything you want right now if you just work harder or do these things. And so I love that practical advice for the person who's listening right now going, okay, that's great. I know we're in it for the long haul. We need to like look to Jesus and keep on persevering and keep holding on. But your encouragement is that right now, take inventory of what voices you're allowing to feed your soul and what you're allowing yourself to be consumed by, because obsessing about your current circumstances is not going to help us to get any further in hoping in the eternal things of God.
Yeah. Oh, that's so helpful. Thank you so much for joining us, Nancy, today. It was such a joy to hear from you and to be taught by you. And I know that listeners will agree. If they wanted to find you somewhere online, how would they do that? And what are you working on right now that we can look forward to?
Well, it's not too hard to find me, nancyguthrie.com. And, I'm currently working on, for the past 5 years, I've been going around the country and now internationally offering what I call the Biblical Theology Workshop for Women. And honestly, it's centered on training people how to understand this story of the Bible that makes sense of our story and focusing on where that story is headed. It's headed toward an eternity with Christ. And so I love getting to do that and getting to do that at this point all around the world.
And are you still open for people to register for those? Can they learn more about it somewhere?
Sure. I mean, I've got three of those domestically this spring in Albuquerque and Charlotte and Washington, D.C. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to be doing three of them around Australia in May and June, and then a whole slate of them for this fall.
Well, I want to go to the one in Australia. Fun. Why don't I just go on?
Yeah.
Let me go carry your bags for you. Thank you, Nancy. Thank you so much for joining us today. I know that our listeners are going to be chewing on this, thinking on it, and just pressing in there right now, because you've given us just a reminder of how good the story really is and how much we can go to God's word and remember that he is in control in our now and not yet stories this very moment.
Thanks so much. I've enjoyed this conversation.
I hope our conversation with Nancy encouraged you as much as it did me. And if it did, I'd be so honored if you shared this episode with a friend or on social media. Thank you for joining us today.